Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We need to just go back a few Sundays in order to begin to understand where today's reading is coming from. Last week we heard that the people were looking for Jesus because he had fed them, as in the feeding of the crowd, with the 5 loaves and 2 fish. Those 5 loaves and 2 fish were given by a young boy. I want you to remember that. I don't know, we hear a lot about the story of how Jesus fed all the people, but we don't hear very much about the boy who actually offered the gift that he had. The people realised that he must be a prophet that had come into the world, and they wanted to make him king, just like Mike said last week. This week, the people are searching again to find Jesus. And it's interesting that they're looking for him not because they've seen him do amazing things. They're actually looking for him because he fed their tummies. And I think that's really important for us to realise. Jesus says to them, "You are not looking for me because you recognise who I am, but because I fed you with bread and fish." And then Jesus says this amazing thing. "Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures forever." In today's gospel reading, Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. Believe and work and serve me, and you will never be hungry. I am the bread come down from heaven." When people heard him say that, they got really upset. They thought, how can he be the bread from heaven if he's Joseph's son? We know him, and we know his mother. And he's the carpenter. And yes, we've seen him do some really good things, but he's just Mary and Joseph's son. Jesus says, "Do not complain among yourselves." I love the way that Jesus is able to pick up what's happening in the crowd. And he says, "No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise that person up on the last day." I don't know whether you've ever noticed those words. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father, unless drawn by God. How good is that? We are the people that God has drawn to God's self. Have you ever thought of yourself as such a person? That you are actually here because God has drawn you to God's self. We are the people who know the one who came in Christ, the bread of life, who loves us so much that he was willing to give up his flesh. That's what that means. So the one for whom we work, the one that we serve, is the one who invites us and gives us the gifts in order to do so. Last week, in Mike's sermon, I was really touched by something that he said. He said, "We are not only receivers, but we are also distributors." Are you with me? We are not only receivers, but we are also the distributors, the imitators of God. How cool is that? And that is exactly what this reading is about. I couldn't come to lunch on Friday because I had an appointment. And I want to share with you what happened in that appointment. She was sharing that she went to church on Communion Sunday with her two grandchildren. Her grandson's 4 and her granddaughter is 2. And they sat in the front row and they had all their stuff over the floor. And she took a photo of it and sent it around and said, "Is this what messy church is about?" Which it isn't, of course. And when it came to communion, the person who was distributing the food left out the children. And so she gave her piece of bread to her grandson. Are you with me? And he got up, right, this 4-year-old got up, and it's a tiny piece of bread, and he went to his little sister and broke his tiny piece up and gave it to her. I don't know, I found that story really moving. That a little guy who's 4 years old knew that there was something special about what he was receiving, and he went to his little 2-year-old sister. Because Grandma had said, "I will give you mine." And the grandfather said, before he could even say it to his little granddaughter, he was already up sharing his bread with her. We are not only receivers, but we are also the distributors. The distributors of the one who is the bread of life, who gave himself up for us in order that we could have life everlasting. How good is that? So, how do we, as both individuals and a community, become the distributors? And it's like the story of the little red hen. It's really about discovering what your gift is that you are able to offer to God as the distributor of what God has done for us. I'm going to ask you to do something special. Last week at PRC, which is the Pastoral Relations Committee, Annika, our presbytery minister, was doing opening devotions, and she invited us to think about what it might mean for us to be imitators of God. And she asked us to look at the gifts that we offered to PRC. And she gave all of us a piece of paper. And I thought, I hate doing this. I hate talking about myself. And I got this little piece of paper, which was the shape of a heart. And I couldn't find any for you. And I had to write on it what gift God might have given to me that I offer to PRC. And I'm thinking and thinking, and the others are all writing. She asked us to do it on 3 pieces of paper. And I thought, I'm happy to share it with you. I've probably been involved in our presbytery maybe as long as some of the others that have served for maybe 50, 60 years. And I thought, well, I bring a knowledge of the past to this meeting. What else might I bring? Well, I think in relation to Tom, I'm probably a good listener. And I think I show compassion, but I'm also passionate about God's love for us and for God's people. So we filled it in, right? And we handed back these little stick-on hearts, and she stuck them on the middle of the table, the big table. And she made a heart out of it. And there's all these little stick-on notes with what people had put on it. And when we looked at it and people read out some of those gifts, we thought, this is amazing. We've never done this before. And it was really good for us to be able to say, well, if we've got all these gifts, there's amazing things that we can accomplish. We are not just receivers, we are also the distributors. So Wes and Jenny are going to give you a piece of paper. And if Jenny can grab the pens and the pencils off the back table, and if Di maybe, if she would, just give everybody a piece of paper. And it's a stick-on piece. And I'm going to ask you to write on it, what is the gift that you believe that God has given to you? What is it that you can offer to this community of faith? And then what we'll do afterwards, we'll stick them on the window and you can see them. You don't have to put your name on it unless you want to. And then at offering time, I'm going to ask Wes and Jenny if they might collect them and we'll stick them on the window. And it'll be your offering to God. Your offering to God. And in the Ephesians reading, it says that when we do that, we strengthen the community of faith. I'll finish with a story. Feel free to write on it any time that you want to. Thank you. And if there's so many and you need another piece of paper, just write on the back. I want to finish with a story. And if you want to go home and look his name up on the internet, you'll be able to find out all about him. He was a citizen of Goshen in Indiana, in the States. And people, the citizens of that town, had been absolutely stunned to hear that Tracy Bailey, captain of the wrestling team, member of the student council, good student from a church-going Bailey family, had been one of the teens involved in the devastating vandalism on the local high school. And he had fallen in with an unruly group who used alcohol to fuel their frequent petty vandalism. And I think I've said and shared with you before that even as I tell this story, I want you to recognise that some young people in the community that we live in go through really rough times. And I'm not saying that is an excuse for some of the behaviour that we hear about, but none of us know the whole story. He was arrested, and the judge wanted to hold them as an example to others of what they had done. And Tracy was sentenced to a 5-year term as a juvenile offender. He was tough. He wanted everybody to think that he was really tough. One day he was put in solitary confinement, and there was a tiny little mirror hanging on the wall. And all of a sudden he found himself looking at himself in that mirror. And he didn't like what he saw. He just didn't look hardened. He looked terrible. He didn't look like a tough guy. And he knew that he needed to turn his life around. And one of the guards approached him and actually asked him something that he'd never been asked before when he came out of solitary confinement. Would you like me to pray with you? As though this guy knew what was happening inside solitary confinement. And the officer prayed with him and invited him and told him that there was a Bible study group, and the Gideons came and they gave him a Bible. He started studying while he was in there. And he worked for, when he came out, he worked for months to pay off his debts and make restitution to the school that he vandalized. And then he entered college, studying for an education degree in science and maths. He decided that he would pay back society by becoming a good role model. An imitator of God, he said, working with young, confused people, and that he would become a teacher. I guess you could say he reached his goal. And in April of 1993, if you want to look him up, Tracy Bailey attended a special ceremony at the White House, where the President awarded him the National Teacher of the Year Award. Okay? That was a gift that God had given to this young person even before he got himself into trouble. He never stopped loving him. And that was the thing that he found out about himself, that God never stopped loving him even though he had been involved in all those things, and that he lived in his forgiveness, that he recognized him as the bread of life, that he just wasn't a receiver, but he was also a distributor.